All right, you're in the Arms Room with Glenn.
And Drew.
You just do it to annoy me at this point.
I know.
Thank you for joining us. We are, oh, God.
Oh, wait.
You got it?
I have it. Hold on.
After all these years, you think I'd have figured it out, but.
Stand by.
John text Drew this the last time because pre-recorded show today. Sorry we're not live, but we're out having adventures right now for reasons. So coming to you in the present.
In the present, from the past, of the future.
Of the future. All right. Excuse me. There you go. So thank you to our patrons for continuing to support the show and making this wonderful new studio we have possible. We're very excited to have our own studio again and to have all the walls lined with good foam. Should be making pretty good audio today.
Yeah.
Here's hoping. So if not, we've probably got something on the boards messed up because –
Well, no, because everybody, we did the show for the patrons for $10 above, the special show, and we haven't had any.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, the extra show. Everyone said they liked it quite a bit, and that was done in here.
It was done in here. Yeah. That was the first show done in here.
It was the first show done in here. So way more stuff coming for you patrons. Lots of video content, other cool stuff happening, so get ready. Get ready. You're about to really maximize this. Bringing giveaways back as well.
Yes.
Keep your eyes open. They're happening. All right. News. There's only been one thing that's happened that's newsworthy. And by the time you guys hear this, there'll be more facts and more truth out there about it. And maybe it'll already been enough time that people have freaking forgotten about it, which is quite possible. But I wanted to talk about the shooting in Kenosha. So there was some protests going on up in Kenosha, Wisconsin. And basically, what ended up happening was a 17-year-old kid who had an AR-15, like a $400 freaking DPMS with like a $80 sight mark red dot on it, by the way. No plate carrier, no armor, no war belt, no extra mags, none of that kind of shit. Was also at the event, and the reasons about why he is there are still kind of up in the air and all that. It may have all come out by the time you guys hear this, but ended up in an engagement with several individuals. And ended up killing two of the individuals and grievously wounding the third one. Some people are saying self-defense. Some people are saying it was murder. Here's some facts so far. First of all, let me say this, and I've said this before about other events. You'll notice that neither the Arms Room nor Independence Training or Redwire Gear, really any of the other companies we like to associate with, jump out on social media and start making wild claims about this is what happened and this is why and see this. And for people who use this kind of shit to sell training, fuck you. You know, just fuck you. You're jumping to massive amounts of conclusions and using hysteria to sell your products. If you need hysteria to sell your products, your product sucks.
Yeah.
I have all these quote-unquote experts, and here's why these people think they're experts, you know? One, because they watch a lot of internet videos. Two, because they spend a little bit of time in an overseas country doing a job completely unrelated to this particular topic. They have a big following, so they think because a lot of people follow them, they must be a subject matter expert. So you have all these people making these wild claims and massive suppositions about what is going on in this situation without really getting all the facts first. You know, the MLB cancels a bunch of their games and shit because the Jacob Blake, we're all standing up for Jacob Blake. I mean, before the facts even come out about the guy. Now, here's what we know about the three victims.
Who's Jacob Blake?
He's one of the guys that got smoked.
Oh.
Here's what we know about the victims. One of them is a convicted pedophile. Oh, so geez, we better stand up for that guy.
Well, you know.
I guess these days we are, right?
Well, isn't Hollywood trying to make this movement where it's like a sexual preference?
Oh, yeah. They're all about pedophilia, those fucking sickos. One of the second victims is a multi-documented police report, jail time, et cetera, domestic abuser.
With his
massive amounts
of
domestic violence. Yep. Massive amounts of domestic violence in this guy's past. Jacob Blake was potentially going for a gun. Right now, the Department of Justice is saying that he was indeed going for the gun in the car.
He was in the car. Oh, that's the guy that got his bicep shot off.
Correct.
He had a Glock in his
hand. He tried to disarm the shooter and ended up freaking gotten his bicep blown off. Wears a hat that says paramedic on it and doesn't even know what to do about his own bleeding arm, which is pretty comical.
Yeah, why did he have that hat on?
Who fucking knows? Stolen valor. I don't know. I have no idea. The guy in the car, Jacob Blake, was going for his gun, is what Department of Justice was saying.
Mm-hmm.
He was a prohibited possessor of firearms. These are not good people that got shot, right? They are not good people. Now let's talk about the kid, Kyle Rittenhouse, a 17-year-old kid, the shooter. I'm not going to go into depth here because I don't know enough about the situation, and I'm not going to sit here and spend my day studying it because I don't really fucking care that much.
Yeah.
But this kid wants to claim self-defense, currently being charged for murder. This is part of what we're going to talk about on the show today, this whole specialization, one-track mind kind of bullshit. I've been getting asked a lot by students, a lot. Well, what would you do if you were in this situation? What would you do? I wouldn't fucking be in this situation. I'm not going to go down to these protests and rallies. Protest is for persuasion. These events are not for persuasion.
Yeah.
They're for criminals like the ones that Kyle Rittenhouse killed and may also become himself to go and gather and do evil, bad, against the law shit that hurts other people and does nothing to build society and does nothing to help. I'm not going to go down there. The only reason I would go down there is for the reason I think Kyle Rittenhouse went down there, because he knew there was going to be trouble down there. I'm making a pretty big assumption here. I'm not going to be in those situations. I don't have to worry about those situations. I don't care about those situations. I'm not involved in those situations. It sounds cool until you get down there.
Yeah, no
and
thanks.
It's all these people being wildly violent, maybe more than you're ready to be.
Yeah, no thanks.
So I'm not there. What? If it comes to me, self-defense is that the harm, the threat comes to you. This threat did not come to Kyle Rittenhouse. He went to it.
Yeah. What blows my mind is people bring their kids down to this shit. It's like, what the fuck are you people thinking?
Now, you also have this idea with, you know, he was a police cadet. The news is already talking about he was obsessed with firearms. He's obsessed with law enforcement.
Oh,
he was down there trying to be a cop, right? That's what they're going to run with. Think about yourself for a second. We've talked about this on the show before, and we definitely talk about this kind of stuff in training. Think about how you would be portrayed by the people that you know or that know you.
Oh, gosh.
If you found yourself in a really bad situation, would people say you're angry? Would people say that you're crazy? Would people say you're a gun nut? Would people say that you're obsessed with this? All he does is watch war movies and play war video games. And I mean, you think about probably the equipment the majority of our listeners have in their house. Guys, yeah, we have, by definition of what the news would say, arsenals. How do you think you're going to be portrayed if you find yourself in a situation? I know how I'm going to be portrayed. I'm screwed, man.
Yeah.
They're going to villainize me instantly. And then as soon as they're done doing that, anyone that's reasonable is probably going to distance themselves from you, from your memory or whatever, and be like, oh, shit, yeah, that guy. Yeah, he was always a little nuts, always a little crazy. Yeah. I remember this one time we were talking about taking over the government or something. Like, dude.
Yeah.
You think about someone like me getting involved in a shooting. I mean, listen to this show, for fuck's sake.
And this kind of ties.
You know, how am I going to be portrayed?
This also ties in with the things that we've preached before, like be careful of what you post on, you know, your Instagram, your Facebook. Think of every person that you've made upset. They're all going to be coming out of the woodworks and saying, oh, that guy was a piece of shit. I mean, me, I'm going to be destroyed by ex-husband and ex-family.
Oh, she's mad. She's so crazy. She's always angry.
Yeah,
she carries
even though they don't
she's
know
a gun nut.
Who I am to this day. You know, all they can remember is when I was a child and
or when you have, you know, your skeletons are all coming out of the closet.
Right.
Whatever you think you've buried in your past,
it'll
you
surface.
Find yourself on a court stand, it will come out.
Yeah.
Whatever you think you're done with, whatever you think you've moved on past, you haven't. It will come out. This is why we don't go looking for trouble.
Yeah.
Because stuff like this happens. I want it to be a
clear-cut case.
Clear-cut wash your hands of it. Dude, there was no way out of this. This guy absolutely did everything he could to disengage and create distance.
Mm-hmm.
You look at these things and you learn from them. First of all, shut your mouth, really, until all the facts come out. I don't have all the facts. I'm not going to say here or there. I know that these guys were bad people that got shot. That's proven. Yeah. I know that Kyle is a child, and I know some of what's in his background because it's been proven.
Yeah.
I know we roughly might know why he was there because some of that's been proven as well.
Which I didn't even know about the story until today.
It's madness. I can't believe you haven't seen it on freaking Instagram. It's
everywhere. I try not – I don't know. I don't focus on the news just because it's like every single day it's something new. And
it's nuts.
If you focus so much on the news, you're just going to go insane, I feel like. And I just don't want to take the space up in my head of thinking about bullshit.
Yeah. It's pretty crazy, man. I mean, it's the whole situation's nuts. But a lot of it's just to learn from this about how to not end up in that situation yourself.
Play stupid games, win stupid prizes.
Just get the fuck out of there, man. Yeah. Don't be there.
Yeah, don't be there.
Don't be there.
That's what blows my mind with this shit. I mean, it's just people are like, I can't believe this happened. Well, why the fuck are you there in the first place? None of this. When has there been an actual peaceful protest? Oh, when you don't hear about it in the news. Mm. So it's like everything that's going on, nothing's peaceful.
And if you're going down there,
you're obviously looking for trouble.
You're looking for trouble.
You're looking to loot, riot, pillage, plunder.
Riots
or
are violent.
You're looking for fights.
Protests are peaceful.
Right.
If protests become unpeaceful, they become riots.
Which is what we are dealing with, are just a bunch of riots.
Protests are about persuasion. They're about changing people's minds.
Yeah. All you're changing is the fact that you all still look dumb as fuck out there.
Play stupid games, win stupid prizes, and all that entails. I mean, at this point, it's just stupid people fucking killing stupid people. And we can all let the animals wipe themselves out. The problem is this eventually spills over to innocent people. And these businesses that are being destroyed and looted and the vehicles that are being destroyed and the neighborhoods that are being disrupted, people's daily lives that are being disrupted. For what?
Yeah.
For what? Why are they even doing this?
Yeah.
For what? They want to defund the police? Who's the first people they called after Kyle Rittenhouse freaking smoked some dudes? The police.
Yeah.
It's like, dude, why are they even out there?
Because they're shitbags?
We're all being played right now. That's what's happening.
Yeah.
Masks, COVID, riots, looting. It's all a ploy. If you can't see it, I don't know what the fuck to tell you. You obviously have a public education and only a public education where you've just listened to everything you've ever been told and never thought for yourself. Yeah. And you're probably not listening to this show.
Hmm.
That's the worst part about it, right? We don't reach the people we wish we could reach.
Yeah.
If you're not a $10 and above patron, you should be one just to receive the extra show. We actually got a lot of positive comments about our show this month.
Yeah, we've had people texting us. Mm-hmm. And telling
us, messaging us, saying thanks for the show.
Yeah, how much that they've just learned and wish they would have known years and years ago. And
for those of you who don't know, the extra $10 show is, if you're a $10 and above patron, you get this extra show. And this extra show,
and go listen to it if you haven't.
It's a personal show. It's on the Arms Room. Generally, we talk about guns and preparedness and concepts of lifestyle and whatever. In the extra show, we talk about personal things. I've talked about my divorce. We've talked about male depression. We've talked about suicide. We've talked about addiction. We've talked about religion. We've talked about raising kids.
That's where the Toaster's Broken came from.
It didn't come from a extra show. Toaster's Broken came from a regular show.
Oh, okay.
It was supposed to be on fitness. And ended up being John and I debating whether or not the system was broken. But so we just talk about a lot of extra cool stuff. And it was kind of started with Dave. So you get to hear Dave and I talk personally. And then you get to hear Ryan and I talk personally. And then James and now Drew. And Drew and mine's personal conversations are more interesting because we don't just work together, but we live together and we raise kids together. And so our personal conversations about these kinds of topics are even more kind of in depth. And this month we talked about narcissism.
Yeah, and dealing with narcissistic people in your life.
And how we've been narcissistic mm-hmm. and how we see some traits in ourselves and how we try to improve and change those things mm-hmm. and the other things that we've had to deal with in our lives, our personal lives.
Yep.
And we've gotten a lot of positive feedback on that. So like, if you're not listening to the show, I mean, I got to be honest with you. I am the worst salesman. Everyone who knows me from a business perspective is always telling me, like, dude, you are the worst salesman. Like, you're terrible at selling more classes. You're telling them, like, well, if the fucking people want to come, they'll come, you know? And they're like, yeah, but you could encourage them to come. Like, oh, fuck them. If they want to come, they'll come, you know? And so I'm not very good at that. But I will tell you guys this. No shit. If I was a patron of the Arms Room, I would pay the $10 just to hear the extra show.
Yeah.
I think it's worth the extra show. Plus the extra stuff that $10 patrons get and are going to keep getting as we continue to grow things here.
Yeah, we're starting to do our swag packs and everything else.
Yeah, we got new decals coming.
Yep.
Like all $10 patrons are getting new swag packs.
Yep.
You know, the saber tooth and the circle discount or circle decal.
Yeah.
So there you go. Anyways. That's what we need to do. We need to take the regular saber tooths and make sure all the patrons get those, and in addition to the other ones.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what we should do. Ooh, I like that idea. I'll order some more. All right. So, Redwire Gear Moment is this. Redwire Gear Moment brought to you by RedwireGear.com. Check your people's gear, not just yours. We always talk about checking your own gear and maintaining your own equipment. Like, Drew and I are going to be together. She's got her pistol. I got to make sure she's dialed in as well. Just a friendly reminder. And when was the last time you changed batteries in your flashlight? When was the last time you topped off your magazine? When was the last time you ran through your carry ammo? When was the last time you lubed your gun? When was the last time you checked the air in your tires? When was the last time you managed this problem, whatever that problem is? Make sure that you're checking the people around you so that they can be prepared and they might forget. I know I certainly do. I like when people check up on me. Hey, man, when was the last time you did this? I'm like, oh, shit, I forgot that. So check up on your people, whether it's a spouse or significant other, whether it's your kids, whether it's a family member, friends, the people you train with, work with, whatever. Make sure you're checking up on them as well. Redwire Gear Moment brought to you by RedwireGear.com. All right, on to the topic. Why specialization is for insects and skills need to be diverse but also complementary. I'm going to read the quote I read last week from Robert Heinlein. A human being should be able to change a diaper, plan an invasion, butcher a hog, con a ship, design a building, write a sonnet, balance accounts, build a wall, set a bone, comfort the dying, take orders, give orders, cooperate, act alone, solve equations, analyze a new problem, pitch manure, program a computer, cook a tasty meal, fight efficiently, die gallantly. Specialization is for insects. Now, we all have to have a specialized skill, right? You're a carpenter. You're a plumber. You're an engineer. You're an architect. And most people in their lives will have several different specialized skills, you know.
Does shit talking included?
What's it called when we play Dungeons & Dragons with the kids? What's it?
Vicious mockery.
Yeah, Drew's character in we play Dungeons and Dragons with a couple of our kids, and Drew's character has a skill called Vicious Mockery. It's a real skill that matches Drew perfectly. It allows her to actually insult people so much it hurts them physically, so which I think is legitimate. It's a real skill. So it's not a very pretend fantasy thing in that game. So yes, babe, for you, Vicious Mockery can be a thing.
Perfect. But
everyone's going to have like a skill or a job, right? But those things are going to change. Drew was a banker. For 14 years, Drew was a banker. That's what she did. She changed her specialization, right?
Yeah, now I'm a freaking show producer.
Now you're a podcast show producer and, you know, admin for the independence training team. Plus you help us teach like specialization. But here's where I think specialization changes. It's really based on your lifestyle.
Yeah.
You know, I was a soldier. Then I was a concrete worker. Then I became what you could maybe say a teacher. But that's not all I do because I'm also on the podcast and I'm also do security work still. And I also do, you know, recovery work still. And I also go – it's like – yeah, I have a job that I do the most, but I still do a lot of different things.
Yeah. Plus being parents on top of it.
Plus we're parents.
And teachers.
And you teachers there.
Forgot we're teachers
now. Now I'm actually a public school teacher as well, which I didn't know was going to happen. But now I actually have to be a public school teacher, only I don't get paid for it. And the public school teachers who do get paid for it, they don't really have to do much.
Yeah.
A few minutes
of work
a day.
They have to go on a
Zoom. Must be nice. Anyways, some of them are doing good. Some of them are doing fine, and they're working hard. But the majority of them are terrible. Anyways, so everyone's going to have like a thing that they're really working on right now. But no one is ever a thing for their whole life, right? Unless their life is relatively short. Like, I've never known anyone I can think of that's been a thing their entire life. Yeah, I was a plumber from the time I was 17 until 65. I retired as a plumber and then I died. You know, like that's – I don't know anybody who was that specialized in anything. So specialization is for insects, right? And what we mean by that is look at ants. There's worker ants, soldier ants, the queen. They're specialized. Outside of Disney movies or Pixar movies, soldiers don't become workers and workers don't become soldiers. That is who they are.
Yeah.
Now, there are some types of ants that may fluctuate a little bit. I know that there's a type I was reading about not long ago that is kind of multi-skilled. But for the most part, they still specialize in their one thing. Insects do a thing. Spiders don't write sonnets, right? Spiders don't con a ship. Spiders don't know anything. They know how to build a web, capture the bug, kill the bug, eat it, make babies die. That's their whole thing. They don't go beyond that. Specialization is for insects, is Robert Heinlein's way of saying it is for the non-thinking person. It is for the non-thinking creature who doesn't have a thought, right? The brain of an insect is a bundle of nerves that just tells its body what to continue to do under these circumstances. Like a computer, if this equals this, then this. That's it. But people are not that way. And specialization is not for us. If you try to be too narrow-minded, then you are going to wind up on the street to Kenosha, Wisconsin, getting shot without knowing why or understanding why, or you're going to be the shooter and shooting people and going to prison and not understanding why. Because you're too specialized. Your brain is too narrow. Your thought process too narrow. Unfortunately, that's a lot of people that we do meet in life. I realized early on in my life that God did not put me on this earth to just pay bills and die.
Yeah.
That is not my goal. That is not my purpose. That does not help me create healthy life. Yeah, just pay bills and die. No way. No way that's what I'm here for. No way that's what any of us are here for. Not just pay bills and die. There's so much more. You have to develop those skills. All right, I'm going to get religious for a second. I don't do that much on the show. But once upon a time, when I used to pay attention in church, there's this parable. And parables are a way to teach people a lesson using a story, right? And so there's this parable of the father with his two sons. And the father with the two sons, he has one son that he gives one talent to. And he has another son that he gives two talents to, right? Here's two skills, two talents. And then the father leaves them. And he returns in 2 years, some frame of time, to ask the sons what they have done with their talents. And the son with two talents says, "Father, look what I've done. I took this talent and I turned it into this, and then I used it to build this other business, and now that taught me how to do this, and now I'm working on this other project, and then I used this other talent to help these people over here, and because I was able to help them, I was able to bring them in with me, and now look at what I have. I have all these people working together, and look what we've created." And the father's very proud of his son, of course. "Wow, you took your two talents and you turned them into so much more." And then you have the other son, and he said, "Okay, what'd you do with your talent, son?" "So I was scared of losing it, so I buried it."
And he said, "I feel like you love this story."
And he says, so what have you done then while I've been gone?" He's like, "I protected my talent, made sure it didn't get away." And that's why I feel like a lot of people live their lives.
Yeah.
They're so scared of possible failure. They're so scared of putting themselves out there. They're so scared of of losing their talent, so to speak, that they hide it. They bury it. They're scared of losing it.
Yeah.
And so they keep it hidden. And they may use that one talent and that's it, if they use it at all. I mean, if you don't use your skill sets, they diminish over time. In relation to the type of world that we are in as far as shooting and emergency response and all that, there's an account from a friend of ours that we like to follow and participate in on Instagram called The Soft Way, S-O-F Way. So The Soft Way. Sons of Freedom, but also Special Operations Forces. He himself was a prior service Green Beret. So The Soft Way. And on there a little while ago, and we actually reposted it because I liked it so much, he posted a little meme that said, if all you are is good at shooting, we have no use for you. And that's how a lot of people look at his world, Green Berets. Mm-hmm. I'm going to be honest with you. Special operations, typically not that great of shooters. Great shooters in comparison to conventional forces. Great shooters at certain levels, special task forces, certain special mission units are very specifically good at shooting. But the majority of special operations, just because you're special operations doesn't mean you're now magically a better shooter, or that you're just – yeah, you go to a lot of shooting schools and some of those people become very good shooters. But that's not their focus. They're not like, all right, guys, here's your only job. Shoot stuff. That's not even what special operations does most. If all they did was shoot stuff, they'd be called special shooters, not special operations.
Yeah.
Special operations personnel perform tasks that are very difficult under a wide variety of circumstances. Thus, they are multi-skilled. One of our instructors who's, you know, spent a few years in special operations, he's a diver in the water. He's a diver in the sky. He can drive a lot of different vehicles. He can translate some different languages. He can work on a couple different pieces of electronics. He's a phenomenal medic. He's also a shooter. But he can do all these other things, mm-hmm. right? He can land nav. He can use computer systems. He's great at all that. And he can shoot. And in the majority of things he's had to go do, shooting was a minimal part of it. In fact, if you look back at all of our instructors and all of our experiences over time in those types of environments, the minimal thing we did was shoot. And even a conventional military, I come from that world. Most of our guys come from conventional military. It's like half and half. Like the half of our guys that come from conventional military, it's like not all we do, you know. Just run around shooting shit. This ain't fucking Call of Duty, man.
Yeah.
You know, most of it is doing other stuff, your actual job. And the majority of people even in those environments primarily will only ever do their job. And also other things. Like they have to – I'm saying they're not just specialized in this one thing. It's like, oh, you're in the military. You must be a good shooter. Yeah, not really. Not really. The standards are relatively low because of the types of application, the shooting. That's not the specialization. Even a sniper who you could say probably has a pretty specific task, right? Shoot people at long distances, still also does other things, a lot of other things. They do long-range reconnaissance. They do target and acquisition. They do surveillance. They do overwatch. They do a lot of work with communication. Sometimes they act as forward observers and they have to call in airstrikes and do things like that. They do a lot of stuff. Sometimes they shoot their rifles. So specialization is for insights. That's the point we're getting at here is you can't just do a thing. Like they said at The Soft Way, if all you are is good at shooting, we have no use for you.
Yeah.
Our instructors are never hired because of their skill of shooting. To be totally honest with you, the majority of our shooters come to our program, come to our program, and they're not particularly great shooters. They've got some great real world experience. They've got some great application of force. They know how to run their guns. But they're not amazing shooters. Because that's not necessary. I want to know what else they can do. Can they teach? Are they physically fit? How do they live their lives? Do they pursue further education? What are their hobbies? Are they willing to compete? Are they willing to do difficult things? Are they willing to go on things like hikes and trips and stuff like that? Do they travel? How do they treat their families? That's what I want to know. That's what I want to know about my guys. Whether or not they can shoot, whatever. We can teach them that shit.
Yeah.
Teach people how to shoot. We literally do that for a living. We teach people how to shoot. What do they do beyond that? So this is where you got to take a self-inventory. And you got to ask yourself, like, literally sit down with a piece of paper. I mean, like, literally do this. Don't just go like, oh, this sounds like a fucking good idea. Do it. Sit down with a piece of copy paper. Draw a line down the middle as straight as you can. On one side, write skills I have. On the other side, write skills I want. Now, don't be a self-deprecating dick here and give yourself, well, I'm only good at one thing or some stupid bullshit. You have more skills than that. I know you do. You wouldn't be listening to the show if you were that kind of person. So write down the skills that you have. Like, what things can you do? Could you help someone frame a house? Not frame a house by yourself necessarily, though you may be able to do that as well. But hey, I could help frame a house. So that means I could help with general carpentry. That's a skill, right? I know I can build cabinets. Does that mean I want to be a cabinet maker? No, but I have built some cabinets in the past. So I know it's something I could do. I could frame a wall. I could set a form. I could do really basic carpentry. So I could help someone frame a house. I would put that on my skill list. Yes, I could help someone frame a house. But when you're looking at it from the perspective of, like, what are your actual skill sets? Oh, my God, we're getting thrown prizes, gifts and prizes right now. So when you
– Oh, my gosh.
Are these the new shirts?
Yeah, yeah. Look how cool that is.
Oh, well. Hold on. Time out. Stand for a second. By. Take a break. Oh, wow. Those are pretty diggity dope.
I like it. Although I'm not an extra large there.
Okay, well, there's a small over there.
Cool.
Glenn's got a small.
Hell yeah, dude. All right, buddy.
Thank you.
We just got our cool new Independence Training shirt.
Oh my
you guys
gosh,
can see them later.
These are so awesome.
Yeah, you guys can see them later.
Who the hell's an extra large? And this is a large.
Oh, that's right. Just hang on to them. So where were we at? Oh, writing down your skill levels, right? So write down, like, the legitimate skills that you have. Can you effectively trade stocks? Have you ever done that on your own? That's a skill. If you understand how that world works, that's a skill. Write it down. You know, can you rebuild an engine? Okay. Can you change the oil? You know, can you change a tire? Like, write down the kind of skills that you have. What you're going to find is you have a fuckload of skills. You have a lot of stuff. Now, based on what you see there, now go to the next column, skills that I want. If I can change the oil but not rebuild an engine, do I want to get that skill? If I don't, then fine. Don't worry about it. Like, me personally, I don't give a shit about being able to fully rebuild an engine. It's just not something I care about. I've done it in the past with my father when I was a kid. If I had to rebuild a modern engine right now from the ground up, oh, my God, it would take me forever.
Yeah.
Be a lot of freaking Google videos or YouTube videos. I would.
Most of it's computer now.
Yeah, it would probably be beyond my skill set. And that's fine. I don't care. I don't want to do that. I would like to know how to be able to diagnose an engine a little bit better.
Yeah.
So, especially a modern engine. You give me an old carburetor engine, yeah, I'm in. Right? You give me some of these modern engines, I open up the hood, it's a whole bunch of black boxes. I'm like, shit. Right? So, that's a skill set I would like to have. If this was my paper, I would be writing over there, diagnose a modern engine. There's all kinds of online programs I can go to, local community college, certification programs I can go get to learn how to do this stuff without having to then go to work as a mechanic in the field. That skill set will then lead me on to another skill set, which will lead me on to another skill set, which will lead me on to another skill set.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, everything I've ever done in life, any skill that I have, if I magnify it, like the son with two talents, right? If I magnify that, if I do my best to utilize that talent to its full capacity, it's always taken me somewhere else, and it's continued to roll that on, as opposed to going, oh, I just want to hide this. I'm just going to keep this to myself. You think about the people in your life that pay bills and die. What do they do? Like, what do they do for fun?
Yeah.
What do they do to expand their minds? What do they do to learn, to improve? Do they struggle and fail because they're not trying? Some people are like, oh, man, life's so hard. I'm constantly struggling and failing. I'm on the grind, bro. And you're like, it's because you're fucking stupid.
Well, and it's also a mindset.
You're on the grind because you're not doing anything to utilize your potential.
Yeah.
oh man, oh, I'm always struggling through work, dude. I'm always, yeah, man, I lost my job, but I'm gonna work harder for the next. Like, you lost your job because you're an asshole. Maybe your skill you should work on is don't be an asshole. Maybe you need to go like get some self-help kind of shit going on. Maybe you need to get some counseling. Maybe you need to not be that person. Stop thinking that life is so difficult when you yourself are making it more difficult. Stop making it more difficult. A lot of not making life more difficult is utilizing your actual skills. I know people who are in jobs they don't like. That's not even their skill set. They don't even want to be there. But they're there because, hey, they got to pay bills and die.
I know that feeling.
I mean, I think we brought this up before on shows, but I want to bring it up again because I think it was an interesting conversation. When Drew and I were just friends and were just talking back and forth with each other, one of the questions Drew asked me one time was like, do you feel like you're doing what you were like born to do? You know, because I don't feel like – that's what she was saying to me. I don't feel like I'm doing what I was born to do. I don't feel like working as a bank manager and working in an office and everything is what I was born to do. I just don't think that – this just isn't me. But I'm doing it. It's how I'm making my money. But like, is it what I'm born to do? And I'm like, oh, man, I don't know. I think I'm doing what I'm born to do, which is not teach people how to shoot. It's not to teach people medicine. It's not to do a podcast. I think I'm doing what I'm born to do, which is teaching. I think teaching is what I'm born to do.
Changing lives.
I think
in a positive way.
I think using my own personal experiences and the experiences of other people sometimes to help people become a better version of themselves, I think that's what I was born to do because that's what I'm always trying to do. I want to do those things. I'm making all those mistakes. I've learned a ton, especially in recent years. Will I always be teaching firearms? I don't know. I love it. Will I always be teaching that? I don't know. Maybe I'll teach something else later. So do I think I'm doing what I was born to do? Sure. I'm magnifying this talent. But will this talent take me somewhere else? Yeah. Probably. Will I be on the range in 115 degrees until I'm 70? Probably not. You know? Specialization is for insects. Insects don't have a brain, right? Not the kind of brain we have. They don't have this range of emotions and they don't have this thought process of what they really want to do with their lives. You know, you don't see spiders and their prey hanging out because they ultimately decided they could live peaceably together. You know, you don't see that. Spider's like, doesn't even think I'm going to eat you. It just eats that bug that it catches in its web or snatches off the earth or whatever. Like that's what it does because it doesn't have any other process. And I honestly see people who live their lives the same way. They just do. And that is not how you were born to live. If you find yourself doing that, if you're listening to this going like, dude, that is me, then you need a change. And like so many other changes you're going to make in your life, it's going to be hard. It's going to be really hard. Mm-hmm. So what are some of the skill sets that, you know, you've made this list now, right? The list I can do or the things I can do and the things I want to do. What are some of the skill sets that I think you ought to be able to do and Drew thinks you ought to be able to do? We could get super specific and be like, you should be able to sail a boat or whatever. I think that's too specific. I think – oh, man. I think there's some things – and this is not going to be a complete list at all, right? But I think there are some things that a lot of people should be able to do. It's like the whole list is running through my mind and I got to like organize it real quick. I think people should know how to do the opposite of everything that they learn to do. And here's what I mean by that. I think you should be able to go to a very nice dinner, act appropriately and accordingly, engage in polite conversation with
an appropriate
behavior that's intelligent. You should be able to know which fork to use. You should know.
It's a big skill.
It is.
A lot of people do not know.
You should know simple things like keep your elbows off the table. Don't cut more than 3 pieces at a time. Right? These are etiquette things.
Yeah.
Right? Lay your knife at the top of your plate. Simple things like that. you should know.
Not slurp your soup.
Don't slurp your soup. Don't drink out of the bowl.
Yeah.
Right?
Don't lick your fork.
Don't lick your fork and your knife. You should know how to do these things politely.
And sit up straight.
How to have good posture.
Yeah.
How to have a good presentation. How to show up to a place like that and be respectable.
Yeah.
You should also know.
Some hood rat shit.
Some hood rat shit. Right? You should know how to have a food fight. Right? You should know how to relax and just enjoy your meal. You should know how to eat chicken off the bone with your hands.
Or go to Medieval Times and use it. Because. Yeah.
That was actually pretty funny. We went to Medieval Times. I talked about that, I think, last week. I took one of our daughters to Medieval Times, and they don't give you silverware there.
Yeah.
So, like, the first food they give you is, like, it's like bread. I think it's bread, butter, or something like that. And then they give you – oh, no, it's bread and soup. They give you bread and soup, and then they give you – no utensils. So in there, you do drink out of the bowl. So you dip the bread in the soup. So it's this really good, like, tomato Mediterranean basil soup. So you eat the bread and then out of the soup, and then you drink the soup out of the bowl like a fucking savage, right? And then they bring you chicken on the bone, right? And you eat chicken on the bone. No utensils at all. They bring you a potato. They bring you – what else do they bring you? Potato, some more bread. I can't remember. Something else super messy. And then they bring you a dessert. They actually do give you a tiny little spoon for your dessert. And that's it. Like, so you're eating like a savage, you know what I mean? And while you're cheering on people fighting each other and riding horses around, like, that savagery. It was interesting to look around and see people who had no idea what to do here. You know, it's like they serve the meal and then the people walk off and they're like, oh, excuse me, where are the utensils? Like, there are no utensils. It's like people are like, oh, shit, like, how do I eat this food? So you should know how to eat well, but be totally okay being a savage. You should know how to build something amazing. You should be able to take a tool or a set of tools and build something that you want that's good for you. You should be able to know how to build a shoe rack or build a desk or build a work table out in your garage.
And you should also learn how to cook healthy meals.
Yeah, we'll get to that though. Because the opposite of building is destroying. You should also know how to destroy something. You should know how to take something apart quickly and efficiently. You should know weak points on structures and weak points on things that you need to just dismantle and take apart. Like, you should know how to do that.
Yeah.
But like you already said, Drew, you also have to be able to cook a healthy meal. You should be able to know what a healthy meal is. What's too much salt? What's too much sugar? What's too much butter? What's too much whatever?
Mister, I put butter in everything.
There is no such thing actually as too much butter, but I'm trying to be nice here. But you should also know how to freaking make a sugary, ridiculous cake.
Yeah.
Or cinnamon rolls that just drive you insane. Like, you should know how to do the opposite of the skill set that you're learning too.
Yes.
I mean, that was an interesting thing. Like, I'll go back to concrete when I used to work in construction. We knew how to make concrete. As far as we knew how to put it into a form and mold it and make it what we wanted it to be and then finish it so that it had a good finished look. But sometimes we also had to know how to get rid of it. We had to know how to jackhammer it out, how to cut it up into appropriate chunks. We had to know what was going to be inside of it. Is it rebar? Is it mesh? What's going to be inside that's going to, you know, prevent us from just chopping it up with a, or, you know, breaking up with a jackhammer and ripping it away? I didn't know how to take it apart just as much as we had to know how to put it together. So whatever your skill set is, I think that's it. You know, you should know the ins and outs of that skill set.
Yeah.
People want to know how to shoot. Great. But what do you know about working on guns? What do you know about building a firearm? What do you know about maintaining your firearm? What do you know about healing somebody? You want to learn how to hurt someone? What do you know about healing people? What do you learn about fixing people?
Mm-hmm.
So whatever skill set it is that you think you're lacking, look at the opposite side of it as well. Like, you don't just open up your mind to other things outside of just your one skill set. I don't think there's anything you shouldn't learn how to do, really. There's very few things I know in my life that I don't use in some way. You know, there's some skill sets or some technical information I've acquired over the years that is very narrow in application, obviously, but There are very few things. That's very few things that I don't use often enough to want to keep that information current, or that it in using that in some application, it didn't increase my capability somewhere else, or it didn't encourage me to learn something new. I mean, I did not start in field medicine knowing the stuff I know now.
Yeah.
But learning where the gaps in knowledge were just continued to push me on. I think most people don't want to get pushed on because they're afraid.
Could be.
They're afraid to fail. They're afraid to waste their time. They're afraid to spend the money. They're afraid to spend the energy. If fear is not holding them back, what else is? Laziness. But laziness is in and of itself a type of fear. I don't know. Pretty much all I have to say on the topic. How about you?
I think everybody should be well-rounded. I think everybody should have a little bit of knowledge, especially if you are, you know, by yourself, you live alone, or if you, you know, have young people, because as people, we are raising little people to become better people. So if they can watch you be well-rounded, they're going to want to expand on the knowledge that you teach them. So then they're just going to keep, you know, that tree of life keeps growing type of thing. But I feel it's super important for even women to go out and learn about vehicles, learn how to change tires, check for your oil, know what a starter solenoid is and where is it in case you have to bypass, you can't get your vehicle started, and how you can jump it, and you know, all those different types of things are really beneficial.
And not to be dependent on somebody or dependent on a system. I think that's the thing that really got me like keyed up about all this.
Yeah, that's the biggest thing is I grew up not wanting to have to depend on anybody, only myself. And so I took it upon myself, you know, when I was in – it started in high school. I took an auto class. I took auto class for like 3 years. You know, I wanted to know how to fix my truck, how to fix my dirt bike, and do all these different things because I didn't want to be that person waiting on somebody else, somebody holding something over my head.
The sink is leaking all over your house and you have no idea how to turn the water off.
Yeah. I mean, learn how to turn your water off. I didn't know how to garden. I didn't know how to do yard work. And here I was 3 days ago, did the whole backyard and the front yard. Mm. I didn't know how a leaf blower worked or the leaf vacuum. But guess what I did, people? I read the instructions and figured it out.
Because you have other mechanical skill sets.
Yeah.
They go, okay, well, I know about these other kinds of machines, so this machine makes sense.
Yeah.
You know?
And that's how I explain women with, having them first-time shooters in class. I explain it to them as that this is a piece of mechanical equipment. Tear it down and rebuild it and learn that it's just a piece of equipment that you can utilize just like any other piece of equipment. I mean, you taught me how to use a lawnmower, and I mowed the lawn, and then our dog ripped up our sprinklers.
Now we don't have a lawn.
Now we don't have a lawn. Damn dog.
So really the end of it is this. Don't be dependent on other people.
Yeah.
And live your life in such a way so that you're not dependent on other people, that you're not dependent on a system, that you're not dependent on a service. I mean, it makes me want to choke the shit out of people when they're like, why should I learn how to do any of this when I can, you know, just call AAA? Why should I learn how to do any of this when I can just call someone to fix it for me? Why should I learn how to do this? It's like, look, I don't do everything.
Yeah.
I definitely call people to help out sometimes. But it doesn't mean I don't know how to do it, or that if – I've even called service people to the house, or I'll be in the shop of service people and be like, hey, can I just look over your shoulder for a minute? I don't want to bother you. I'm not going to ask you any questions really. I just want to see what you're doing.
Yeah.
So I can learn about this process.
And if you're embarrassed and you don't want to reach out for help, I mean, YouTube's a great place to go and kind of get a rough basis. I did when I was younger, I had my neighbor. He was one of my best friends, Mike. We did everything together. He had this Malibu, and I had known how to change the brakes on my Ranger, but not a Malibu. So what did I do? I just pulled my phone out and Googled it, watched a couple YouTube videos on how to change Malibu brakes, and sure as shit, 2 hours later, I changed brakes on a Malibu. Mm-hmm. You know? So if you guys are not, you want to have some type of knowledge basis going into it before seeking and asking for help, do research on it, you know? Google is a great tool to utilize. And don't look at one video and be like, I'm an expert. Look at a couple different videos. Look at a couple different, yeah, techniques on how to do things. One thing might be easier. One thing might be takes longer.
Uses different tools.
Yeah.
That's how I learned about the shark bite. What do they call them? I think they call them shark bites or something like that. They're one of the coolest plumbing repair tools I've ever seen in my life because our dog had ripped up our freaking
entire sprinkler system.
No, not the sprinkler system. When I fixed the spigot.
Oh.
We had a wall spigot that he freaking broke off.
Fucking asshole.
And, well, whoever installed it too is also a fucking asshole. But they just basically brought the copper pipe straight out of the freaking wall and put a spigot on it, but it was several inches away from the wall. So it only took our big dumb puppy enough times hitting his body against it where finally he just kinked it and it's leaking all over the place. And so I'm like, okay, I know how to do this. Let's shut the water off, you know, get the water out, drain it. You know, I can sweat and solder and do all that. But I'm like, man, I don't really want to do that in this space. I wonder if there's something else. I think I've seen something else, right, that I can fix this with. And sure as shit, I found about these shark bites, whatever they're called. They're badass, by the way, if you're ever trying to repair plumbing of any kind with all kinds of different tubing. And it was this badass thing. I went down to the store, bought one, and fixed it in a couple minutes, and we were done.
Yeah.
But it's like that knowledge base of being able to do one thing encouraged me to seek out a different option to see if there was something different, knowing how the thing needed to be fixed. So the more you know about something, the more that you can understand that there might be other options or different ways to do it. You know, sometimes there's these really simple tools you'll find where you'll be like, oh, man, there's all these people doing this complicated thing, or I can buy this $5 tool and just freaking get it done right away. So, yeah, definitely seek out other perspectives. So don't be specialized. Have a specialty. Have several specialties. But don't just pay bills and die. Remember, you can bring us out to train with you. Get hosting information via email info@trainingaz.com. Remember to follow us on Facebook as Independence Training, The Arms Room Show, and Red Wire Gear. We're proud members of the Heroes Media Group. Make sure you check out the other shows on the network. And please be sure to follow Heroes Media Group on Facebook and Instagram as well. And make sure that if you guys aren't patrons of the show, you become patrons of the show and get those extra benefits. We got some cool stuff coming up very, very soon. Next week, we're going to be talking about why you need to know how to put needles in people. So talk about expanding your knowledge. Why invasive trauma medical skills are something that you should expand your knowledge base to. Until then, stay aware, stay safe, and train hard. You've been listening to The Arms Room.